Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished, Text 44. Sarahasyo Dhanu Veda,
Sarahasyo Dhanu Veda,
Savisargo Pashyama. Eyes are getting a bit weak. Savisargo Pashyama. Can't see. I'll try again. Savisargo. Okay, thank you. Someone will have to chant the second line because I can't see it straight. Savis Hargo Prashavya Ashtragramas Chabhavata Shikshatoyad Anugrahat Sarahasyo Dhanurveda Savisargo Pashyama. I can't see it. Ashtragramascha Bhavata Kikshitoyad Anugrahat Sarahasyo Dhanurveda. Ashtragramascha Bhavata Shikshatoyad Anugrahat. Sarahasya. Confidential. Danu Veda. Knowledge in the art of manipulating bows and arrows. Savasaga. Releasing. Upasamyama. Controlling. Astra. Weapons. Grama. All kinds of. Cha. And. Bhavata. By yourself. Shikshita. Learned. Yat. By whose. Anugrahat. Mercy of. It was by Dronacharya's mercy that you learned the military art of throwing arrows and the confidential art of controlling weapons. Purport. Dhanurveda, or military science, was taught by Dronacharya with all his confidential secrets of throwing and controlling by Vedic hymns. Gross military science is dependent on material weapons, but finer than that is the art of throwing the arrows saturated with Vedic hymns, which act more effectively than gross material weapons like machine guns or atomic bombs. It is said in the Ramayana that Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Sri Ram, used to control arrows by sound only. He could pierce his target with his arrow by only hearing the sound without seeing the object. So this is a finer material science than that of the gross material military weapons used nowadays. Arjuna was taught all this, and therefore Draupadi wished that Arjuna feel obliged to Acharya Drona for all these benefits. And in the absence of Dronacharya, his son was his representative. That was the opinion of the good lady Draupadi. It may be argued why Dronacharya, a rigid Brahmana, should be a teacher in military science. But the reply is that a Brahmana should become a teacher, regardless of what his department of knowledge is. A learned Brahmana should become a teacher, a priest, and a recipient of charity. A bona fide Brahmana is authorized to accept such professions. Om Gyanachimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitang Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I must confess that before I started reading, trying to read the verse, Amala Bhakta Maharaj came and said to me, "Are you? We can turn on the light." You know, I said, "Nah, don't need it." I'm in my 20s, like back in New Dorka in 1975. So his words were prophetic. It seems that Arjuna is always getting into some difficult situations, doesn't it? At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he has to deal with fighting his relatives, friends, former teachers. He tells Krishna, "How can I fight persons who are my superiors, like Bhishma and Dronacharya? How can I do that? How can I counteract them with my arrows? Such persons are worthy of my respect. Indeed, they're worthy of my worship." So it's an entangling situation. As you recall from Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna, "All my options look bleak. Whether I fight or I don't fight, there's a problem." At that point in Bhagavad Gita, what was the underlying motivation? Krishna points out later that you're simply thinking of your own happiness. Of course, we would say, "What's wrong with thinking of my own happiness?" Arjuna calculated, as he told Krishna in chapter 1. "If we win, we'll be miserable because all those Many of those with whom we'll celebrate with, they're all dead. Because the defeated ones on the other side are related to us in family ties, friendship ties, teacher-student ties. So if we win, we'll be miserable. And, of course, if we lose, if we're defeated, we'll be miserable. So Arjuna's conclusion was, I don't see how any good can come out of this. Therefore, he decided, I'm going to walk away. It was a very difficult situation. And Prabhupada looks at it from different angles. On the one hand, Arjuna was overwhelmed by material lamentation. He forgot his duty. But on the other hand, he was displaying the softness and gentlemanliness of a pure devotee. The conclusion that Krishna wanted to stress was that you're lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Whether the bodies on the other side are related to you in family ties, friendship, teacher-student ties, that's not the important point. The important point is, number one, as a kshatriya, you must do your material duty, and more specifically, or more importantly, as my devotee, you carry out my instruction. So from then, from that point, Bhagavad Gita proceeds on two levels, and persons often get confused if they don't have the guidance of a proper devotee. Is Bhagavad Gita just talking about material caste occupations? Amidst all that, there seems to be some spiritual import. They don't understand, without the association of devotees, that Krishna is going back and forth between two planes. The material plane, Arjuna, look at your propensities, look at your occupation. You have your duty to protect the downtrodden, to curb the miscreants. You're a kshatriya. Then again, I want this battle. So you should do it because that's surrender to me. Now, if you want to get into the material analysis, the opposing side that Arjuna was fighting, led by Duryodhana, they were expert administrators. They are not like politicians of today. They were able to manage. They were able to protect people. It's just that they had a thing about the Pandavas which caused them to commit very dastardly, abominable actions. But other than that, other than the terrorism that they directed against the Pandavas, they were competent. But, as Srila Prabhupada liked to explain, Duryodhana and company only had one problem, that's all. What was that problem? Krishna didn't like them. So you might say, well, wait a minute now. Just because Krishna didn't like Duryodhana and his crew, is that a reason to yank them out? Why should Krishna engage in politics? To which our reply is, why not? If everything is Krishna's energy, if he's the supreme controller, the supreme arranger, why can't he yank out of power those he doesn't like and put in power those he likes? We've established that Duryodhana and company were materially competent. It's just that Krishna was not in favor of them. And therefore, Krishna wanted the Pandavas in charge. Now you're switching to the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. And still, it seems that Arjuna is implicated in a difficult situation. As you know, he's already promised Draupadi, when I catch that child killer, Kumaraha, the killer of young infants, when I catch him, I'll cut off his head. And when you take your bath, you can stand on his head and bathe yourself. It's a mighty statement by a mighty person. So indeed, he has apprehended Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, perceiving that he's being chased by Arjuna, immediately tries for a material solution. You can remember at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita when Duryodhana looked over his army. He felt a sense of material confidence. Look at all the expertise I have. I've got Bhishma, I've got this one, I've got that one. From the material point of view, Duryodhana was right. His side was superior materially. Still, when he looked over at the other side and saw how expertly the phalanx of the Pandavas was arranged, he was a little shaken. And when he heard the conch shells of Krishna, Arjuna, and the others, his heart was shattered. But let's not forget, let's not overlook how he felt materially confident. After all, he had Krishna's armies, and Arjuna only had Krishna. So when you add up the material odds, you do the Las Vegas odds, Duryodhana was assured of victory, as he materially calculated it. He took shelter of his material calculations. But the source of the material and spiritual energy is driving Arjuna's chariot. Now you see, once again, someone taking shelter of the material energy. It's Ashvatthama. I'm being chased by Arjuna. He's going to finish me off. There's only one thing to do. Release the Brahmastra weapon, the localized nuclear weapon, even though I have no means of controlling it, withdrawing it, and I shouldn't be doing this, but I've got to save my own skin. Therefore, I'll cause such a cosmic disturbance to save myself from Arjuna. I have no other option. This is the result of body consciousness. The more that you take shelter of your body and material solutions to salvage your body, the deeper in illusion you go. You can see this happening all over the world today. The body consciousness is increasing. The nationalism, the this identification, that identification, this preference, that preference, this becomes the ultimate reality, and people get a false sense of strength and solidness because I have rediscovered or re-emphasized my bodily identity. And people think that there'll be progress in that way. They think that there'll be even world peace in that way and prosperity by taking more shelter of your bodily identification. Whereas Bhagavatam is teaching you the complete opposite, that peace and prosperity begins with detachment from bodily identification. That's the first thing Krishna teaches Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. What's all this body talk? You're lamenting for what is not worthy of grief? No intelligent person talks like this. So we have a world situation in which, once again, everyone has forgotten the lessons of so many world wars. And due to ignorance, people are taking shelter more and more of their body identification, thinking, we've been missing something here. We've been missing that concentration and focus that comes by thinking you're the body and parading your bodily identification before everyone. It brings a sense of unity. It gives you a sense of cohesiveness in your life, it seems. We are this and you are that. It gives you a mission and it explains all your problems. Our problems are because of you. Srimad Bhagavatam will teach you that the more you take shelter of the body in any kind of way, the more problems you cause. The deeper in illusion that you go. So the illusory energy makes it seem like when you take shelter of the body, things will be better. Economics will be better. The politics will be better. Your life, your personal life will be better. All that happens is you go deeper into nescience because you're not the body. by going deeper into an illusion, more illusion simply results. So this is Ashvatthama. I've got no other option. I've got to save my own skin. All right, so what if I endanger the cosmic manifestation? I've got to do what I've got to do. Maybe you can remember some tight spots you were in like that. You just got to do what you got to do, you know. And it could be an ordinary situation at work, at home, at school. One of my relatives, brother-in-law, he's a professor of dentistry at the University of Michigan. So he runs a department, and he has graduate students who are assisting him in teaching the dental students. And so there was a funding cutback, and the funds for his department of dental surgery were reduced. So he's an upstanding Christian man who's always concerned with about charity in the Christian sense, helping the poor, uplifting the downtrodden. But he was telling me, they cut the funds for my department. So, what can I do? I'm going to have to cut back on the pay of some of my graduate students who are employed there. I have no other choice. I'm not going to cut my pay. I've got kids in school, you know. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. You see, it's life in this world. Tough cookies. So when the bottom line comes, you got to take care of you and yours. And that's the attitude that Duryodhana showed, his father, Dhritarashtra. What are my sons and the others, the Pandavas, what are they going to do? Take shelter of material solutions, and then everything will be all right. You're justified. Ashvatthama felt justified in releasing the Brahmastra. What did Arjuna do, however? He immediately took shelter of Krishna. Although Krishna is his friend, he offers beautiful prayers and then makes his presentation. What's going on here? What has Ashvatthama done? And Krishna explained the whole situation to him and instructed him, you've got to counteract the Brahmastra with a Brahmastra of your own. One person takes shelter of material calculation, the other person takes shelter of Krishna. We should always remember that, because the way life is in this world, there are always complications, there are always intricacies, even though we don't want that. Can you see in your mind's eye how you like to look ahead and see a life where there's no waves in the ocean, no complications, but some other out of the blue come complications? That's why we sing every morning, Samsara Dava, Nana Lita Loka, blazing forest fire. Everyone knows about fires in California. It happens. So, even though we don't want it, complications break out in our life. Because it's the nature of material existence. It's hard for us to get that through our head. Because we have this longing that everything will be all right. We have this longing for smooth sailing in relationships, in jobs, at school, the national situation, the international situation. Why can't everyone just be happy and sense gratification? What is the difficulty? You're gratifying your senses. I'm gratifying my senses. There should be world peace. At least there should be peace in my own home. But it's not happening. What's going on? Gradually, the Bhagavatam will get us to understand that agitation and disturbance is an inherent part of material existence. That's why Srila Prabhupada would always tell us point blank, there will always be war. Oh, it sounds so painful to hear. There'll always be war. Come on, human beings at some point have to wise up. And no more mass destruction. But no, because you're living material existence, there must always be conflict. especially in the age of Kali. So we need to change our vision. Because of attachment to sense gratification, we're seeing that this world can be a nice place. And it's not going to happen. Why do we have these expectations? Complications just arise like fires break out spontaneously. It's just the nature of the conditions. When things get too dry, when the weather gets too hot, and the wind starts blowing with hot winds, the chance of fire increases exponentially. The conditions of material existence are such that strife is produced. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the modes of nature, by constantly shifting and mixing with each other, create disturbances. Not only do they create disturbances by the three modes constantly interacting and shifting, but they also create the false sense of variety in material pleasure. Think about that. You have a kaleidoscope. Maybe you played with one when you were a kid. And you hold that cardboard tube up to your eye with pieces of colored plastic at the end, and you turn the end and you amuse yourself. Of course, everyone knows there are just a few pieces of colored plastic at the end of the tube. But as a little kid, you're fascinated for a while. So that's what the modes of nature do. They just, it's the same old same thing, but they turn and you think, oh, a new variety. Now I'll be happy. This is fresh. This is different. And it's the same old thing. You can't find peacefulness on that kind of shaky platform. And Arjuna is certainly not making that mistake. He's already asked Krishna, how do I counteract Ashwatthama's weapon? Now Ashwatthama's apprehended. And there's another intricate situation. What are you going to do with him? Draupadi is pleading that his life be spared. She gives three basic reasons. Number one, he's the son of a brahmana. Never mind that he behaves so wretchedly. He's the son of a brahmana. Number two, you should feel indebted, Arjuna, because his father taught you your military skills. So feel gratitude. How can you kill his son? The son is his representative. And number three, why should his mother suffer like I am suffering for the loss of my five children? I don't want her to suffer. I don't want her to go through what I'm going through. So she gave those three basic reasons. And Yudhisthira, Nakula, Sahadev, others accepted her version. So on the one hand, you could say she's being too soft-hearted. She's got to be for law and order. On the other hand, everyone's agreeing with her. So the Bhagavatam is showing you different aspects. You could criticize her, maybe, for being sentimental. Then on the other side, you could praise her for her soft-heartedness, her sympathies, her compassion. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is Yudhisthira, who's certainly not sentimental, agreed. Nakula Sahadev agreed. Everyone agreed except Bhima. So how is the situation going to be handled? Bhima is going for Ashwatthama. He's ready. I mean, Ashwatthama killed the five boys in their sleep. How does Krishna resolve the situation? Before he turns to Arjuna and gives him a hint, he has to manifest four arms to keep Bhima from killing Ashwatthama and keep Draupadi from intervening. When's the last time you remember Krishna manifesting four arms? This is New Dwarka. You have Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadesh. He got himself into what seems to be a difficult situation with Rukmini. He was joking with her because he wanted to see her face in anger. But she's not that type of consort of Krishna's. She's very agreeable, very peaceful, very submissive. You would think, ordinarily, about an ordinary man, he should be very grateful for that. But Krishna wanted to push it. He wanted to push this, as you say, he wanted to push the envelope. He wanted to see Rukmini's face in anger. Krishna had this notion that I want to see her eyebrows frowning. I want to see her eyes turn red with anger. I want to see that. So he told her joking words, but she took it all so seriously and collapsed on the ground. Please understand, though, her collapse on the ground was actually a manifestation of ecstatic symptoms. She was being hit with an overload of ecstatic symptoms. There's nothing but love of Krishna in her personality and her responses. So she goes down and responding to the emergency, Krishna manifests four arms. So with one arm, he's smoothing back her hair and putting it in a bunch. With the other arm, he's wiping her face and chest from all the tears that are staining her face and chest. And then with the other two arms, he has to pick her up off the floor. He does this all at once. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Krishna can risk permanently angering his wife just to see the beauty of her angry face. So you might say, why didn't Rukmini comply? Krishna wants to see her angry. Why couldn't she just put on a show of anger? It wasn't her particular relationship with Krishna to do that. With Satyabhama, no doubt it would have happened. She would have flashed some intensely angry looks. But it wasn't Rukmini's relationship. But still you say, Krishna wanted it. What happened is that although Krishna has his willpower, Ichha Shakti, the power of his desire, he is under the control of Prema. And therefore, his internal potency decided that he would enjoy more if Rukmini acted the way she acted and took complete alarm at what he said and collapsed on the floor. Krishna is controlled by prema. So the love in this situation went a different way for his pleasure than what it seemed he had planned by manifesting four arms. Krishna took care of the situation. Similarly, now by manifesting four arms, he's keeping Draupadi from intervening to save Ashwatthama, and he's holding back Bhima from killing Ashwatthama. At that point, he gives the hint to Arjuna. And he's smiling all the time. He doesn't say anything up until that point, but he's smiling. And then he tells Arjuna, kill him, but don't kill him. He knows Arjuna will figure it out. So Krishna puts his devotees in situations that display their glories. He already knows everything, but he wants the world to see the glories of his devotees. This is a great Vaishnava sport, which I recommend for everyone. You're living in the association of devotees, or you're part of the devotee community. Start watching for the glorious behavior of Vaishnavas, even in apparently complex situations. Because there will be complex situations. That's the way the world is. And we're practicing devotional service within the complicated material existence. So one of the thrills in associating with devotees is you can see their character, how they respond to complexity because they're taking shelter of Krishna. And those lessons that you see are unforgettable. So if you're going to be in the association of devotees, you have to learn how to relish the sport of seeing devotees handle complexity and see the strength of their character come out more and more. Because if the devotee takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna gets you through situations you thought you'd never get to the bottom of. For example, we were speaking about this in Denver. The Bhagavatam explains in the fourth canto that the super soul is battling in your heart. How could that be? The super soul is battling in my heart? Yes. In your heart, as Paramatma, Krishna is helping you to battle your senses. So sometimes you feel like, I'm all alone with my senses. They're driving me crazy. Do I have any shelter? Does anyone care? Does Krishna really know what I'm going through? But he's there as Paramatma, battling on your behalf. How does he battle? He's telling you, whether you hear him at this point in your life or not, he's telling you, don't do this, do that. This is a battle. So the Bhagavatam directly says that in one verse. The super soul is in your heart battling. He's fighting for you. Yet we feel so alone. How can I handle this situation? Oh, this is so complex. I never expected this. The solution when those situations come about is to take more shelter of Krishna. Just as Arjuna did. Both before the Kurukshetra War and after. Krishna arranges situations for devotees to show the world their glories. This is what Prahlad Maharaj concluded. Why are you asking me what material benediction do I want? Lord Nrsingadev, why are you asking me that? Obviously, it's for my own good. You know I'm born in a family of demons. It's not that you're trying to trap me by dangling material benefits. No. Even though you know I'm born in a family of demons who are so inclined to material enjoyment, you're asking me to take a material benediction so you can show the world the qualities of pure devotion. That's your real plan. It's not that Lord Nrsingadev had to see this for himself. Prahlad, I just want to see where you're really at. No, he knows. He's omniscient. But he wants to show everyone else. Well, similarly, the Pandavas and Draupadi and Arjuna are going through this situation of complexity so that the qualities of their pure devotion can be seen by everyone. And Krishna is helping to the point of manifesting four arms. If Krishna wants, he can manifest millions of arms. He does that in the Vishvarupa, the universal form. So what's the big deal about four arms? But those four arms manifesting in that way show his love for his devotees. Just like when he scooped up Rukmini off the floor and smoothed out her hair and wiped her face all simultaneously. This is out of love. He's not showing his power and might like in the universal form. He's showing his affection for his devotees. Any questions? Yes? How can one hear Paramatma? He says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Siddhanta Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Pranami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I'll talk to you if you are constantly engaged in devotional service with priti, with love. Now, we shouldn't think. We already heard that the super soul is battling in our heart, helping us to fight the senses. But also, the super soul is eager for us to engage in conversation. The example Srila Prabhupada gives, I always remember, it's a very beautiful example. Those of you who have had little babies or will have little babies, even the father is always eager for the little child to talk, even though the child can't talk properly. Come on, say this, say something, and the kid just says some broken words, and the father gets so excited. So Prabhupada said that's how Krishna is in your heart. Come on, talk, say something. Oh, you said something. So we may think the super soul in the heart is very cold because he's not responding to us, leaving us to battle with our senses on our own. But no, he's there waiting, longing for your conversation. And even a little attempt is so impressive. So the ultimate solution for our problems is, yes, to hear from the super soul in the heart, but that takes qualification. Meanwhile, you have Krishna speaking to you as Bhagavad Gita. You have Krishna speaking to you through parampara. And you have Krishna speaking to you through the devotees. Krishna is always trying to tell us something. The question is why we don't listen. So that's the real problem. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare.